10, 2 Chronicles chapter 10. That really was an awesome story about how the Lord worked things out for me to be able to come here and be with you folks, just being on a tour group that I honestly didn't want to be a part of, and coming to a youth rally I didn't really want to go to, but I ended up being at a place that I really want to be. So praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 10. I'm going to read the whole thing, so just bear with me. I got that from my pastor. He likes to read lots of scripture. Verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 10. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt, and they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye, that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king bade, saying, Come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly, and the king Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your own tents, O Israel, and now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their tents. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless this time in your word, and that you would help me to convey the thought that you've given to me, and that we would walk away changed, and as Pastor said, growing closer to you. We love you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you just for a few moments about a kinder kingdom. This passage is often used to talk to young people about, don't listen to your peers, listen to the older folks who have been through things. And that's great. That's an awesome application. But tonight I want to focus on the one aspect of this decision. This is the dumbest decision in the Bible. Think about it. Hey, Drake, need some help. Come up here. This is Drake. Now Rehoboam, all right? So Solomon has just died. He's passed on. His kingdom is now going to his son, Rehoboam. Now, the entire nation of Israel comes up to you and says, hey, your dad was a tough guy, and we really didn't like it. If you would make our load a little bit easier, we'll serve you forever. All you got to do is maybe give us a little tax break, maybe, you know, get rid of Obamacare. Just do some basic things. And you would think about it, this guy is being offered a kingdom, an entire kingdom of vast wealth. Think about it. It's Solomon. He's one of the richest kings in the Bible, in the world ever. He's one of the wisest. I'm sure he stockpiled some money. This guy is being offered all of that. And what does he say? I'll think about it. Let me get back to you. He obviously didn't take politics 101, because politics 101 says, of course, anything you want. And as soon as you get the crown, then you do whatever you want to do. Well, Rehoboam didn't think like that. Rehoboam said, give me some time to think about it. He went and he consorted with the older folks and the younger folks. And if you read that passage, you'll notice that when he's talking to the older folks, he says,
what advice do you give me that I should say unto the people? But if when he talks to the younger folks, he says, what advice do you give me that we should say unto the people? So he identifies with the younger people, but that was not a good idea because they were stupid. Can I say stupid? Not often. Okay, well, I'll refrain. So Rehoboam makes a very unwise decision. And essentially, we read in the Bible that the Bible says Israel rebelled against David from that day on. Not only did Rehoboam lose the kingdom for himself, he was left with one tribe. He lost it for his kids. He lost it for everybody. And he created a civil war in which people died. Kind of reminds me of the precarious situation we're in today. And it's great, a lesson to seek wisdom among the older folks. Anyways, you can sit down. That is what the story is usually about. What I want to focus tonight on is what Jeroboam could have done. The decision that he could have made. When you think about it, this isn't a decision of Jeroboam. What he was thinking about was not, am I going to rule or not rule? That never entered his mind. He thought, of course I'm going to be king. My daddy was king. My granddaddy was king. I'm going to be king. He never thought he would not be king. But the question that he asked himself was, do I want to be kind or do I want to be unkind? Mm-hmm. Tonight, I want to show us from the Word of God that being kind is not only biblical, it's being Christ-like. And especially at this Christmas season, it's preaching to the choir, because I guarantee you everyone has a Christmas spirit. It's only a few days till Christmas. I mean, everybody on the street is kind right now. But it's not that way all year. It's really not. Let me get back to my notes. Okay. Every one of us is part of a kingdom. Whether we are the king or whether we are the subject, we're all part of a kingdom. We're part of multiple kingdoms. And we have varying roles in those kingdoms. For instance, in this church, obviously the head of the church is Jesus Christ. We understand that. But there is a king of the church, pastor. He paid me to say this. Pastor is the king of the church. No, I'm just kidding. It's an illustration, okay? Don't get nervous. Want a crown? It is. Pastor is the king of the church. We are the subjects, as it were. So in that essence, pastor is in charge of what goes on in the services, and we are in charge of assisting him, and we worship the Lord together. It's a symbiosis. That's just an example. Another example would be a school. At a school, you've got a principal, you've got students, you've got a teacher, you have students. And the thing is, if the teacher doesn't do things right, then the students probably aren't going to do things right. But it's very tempting if the students don't do things right. The teacher often struggles to do what's right. And when I say what's right, I mean, how kind are you? Again, back to my notes. Stop doing that. Proverbs 31:26 is talking about one of the kingdoms which we're all a part of because we all grow up the same way. Proverbs 31:26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness. Not the idea of kindness, not the suggestion of kindness. It's a law. What I think that the Bible is saying there is every time this woman, this wise woman, opened her mouth, she was speaking kindly. That's a tall order for you. The Bible says in James, you can't govern the tongue, but to have this much control over your tongue through the Holy Spirit, that everything that she said was kind. That's the parent. That's the parent-child relationship. Something we're all a part of, or we have been at one time. You either are a parent or a child or both tonight. That's a kingdom. You know that saying, a man's home is his castle? It's true. And in that kingdom, there's a king and there's subjects. As a child, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's a commandment to the parent, the king, to not do as Rehoboam did and treat his subjects roughly. He said, when you get home, I'm going to give you a whooping. You might give them a whooping, but you can do it kindly. I honestly, not to brag on my family, but my father was a tremendous example of that. There were times when he had to beat the stuffing out of me. It just happened. I mean, Pastor knows, I get in trouble all the time. But he did it kindly. I remember times when he would look at me and say, "This is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me." You ever heard that? I'm like, "You liar." No, it's not. Everything he did kindly. He never did out of frustration or anger. That's one kingdom that we're all a part of in some way. The kingdom of the family, the parent-child relationship. Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Nurture. That's kind admonishing. That's kind direction. That's not get in line, I'll slap you upside the head. That's very kind. That word denotes that. The next kingdom that we're going to go to, which we are mostly all a part of, is the kingdom of work. Your job. At your job, you've got a king, you've got subjects. There's the big boss man, and there's the employees. Your employer-employer relationship is something that we tend to think, that's not spiritual. No one cares what I do at work. Doesn't matter if I'm kind at work. They don't know who I really am outside of work. No. The Bible has a lot to say about the employee relationship. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Colossians 4:1 says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." As an employee, your job is to do the best you can for your employer. That simple. And it's not just when he's looking either. Yeah. And as an employer, the Bible says you're supposed to give a just wage. But I want to take it to the next level in the sense that you're in charge of a kingdom, especially if you're a job. I got the opportunity to work with Brother Leonard today. We did some painting around here. And I love watching how he interacts with his guys, with the guys that work for him. He's a boss, but he's also a friend at the same time. And not everybody can do that. I understand if you're in charge of something, I know it's you have to have discipline to understand that. But I think the environment that you create, not only does it determine how productive things get, how productive your workers are, that has a lot to do with it, but it's more important that you have a kind environment. Because you can walk into someone and say, "You need to do better at the job you're doing. You're not cutting it." But you can be kind about it. You can do everything with kindness. That's the point. Here's where it gets tough. In the employer-employee relationship, 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." Doesn't matter if your boss is the most horrible boss or whatever that show is. Really doesn't matter. The Bible says, doesn't matter who he is, you're still so supposed to do your best to work for him. The next kingdom we're going to look at is, we've already talked about it, the kingdom of school. That and the job. If you're a kid, everything you said about the job goes to your teacher. Honestly, your teacher at school, they might not be the greatest person. They might try to be teaching evolution. They're probably, if you're in public school, there's a good chance they might not be saved. But that doesn't mean you can disobey them. And the same goes for us at work. I'm still wondering if my boss is saved. I'm going to get in trouble tomorrow. The last kingdom we're going to talk about is the most important. And it's the reason we're all here tonight. It's the kingdom of God. And the king is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And the subjects are all Christians. Psalm 117:2 says, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Isaiah 54 says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another." The reason we're all here tonight is because we're Christians and we're here to worship God. Not only that, we're here to fellowship with each other. be kindly affectioned one to another at certain times of the year when a guy in a red suit rides a sleigh. Is that what it says? No. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. There is no time qualification put on that. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. You could give that as the name of Christ, the kindness of God our Savior. You know what? He appeared at Christmas 2,000 years ago. That's the real Christmas spirit. The Christmas spirit is a legendary force for turning Scrooges into Santas. This attitude of kindness should be with us Christians every day because of the work that the Holy Spirit has done in us. So we shouldn't just be the, I'm going to be a holly jolly guy around the holidays. We should have the Holy Spirit inside of us governing our tongue with the law of kindness. Luke 6:35 says, "But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." I think one of the greatest sins that modern day Christians that we are guilty of is being ungrateful, ingratitude, and yet God is still kind towards us. Jesus came to earth as a baby and became part of these kingdoms, even though few people recognized him as the king of all kings. And yet, did he respond with unkindness? How did we treat Jesus? "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." We have no excuse when it comes to being kind or unkind. It's a clear command that we are supposed to be kind in every area of life. Every kingdom that you are a part of, when you step into your car and you start driving on the highway, you enter a kingdom. And the state trooper, the policeman, is the king of that kingdom. How you respond can be kind. I've been with people that they get pulled over for speeding and they act like it's the officer's fault that they were speeding. And they get upset at the officer. "Why'd you pull me over?" There's a reason. Not only should we have respect towards the king, but we should be kind towards the king. It's not just the king's job to be kind. When I was a kid, final story, then we'll be done. When I was a kid in school, I had a great teacher. And every day we went to recess, we would line up along the same wall, and she would make us say the same verse every day. Ephesians 4:32. "Be ye kind one to another." We went through the whole verse. "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another." That is a great idea. I love it when parents or teachers make their kids memorize verses, because I can still say it to this day. You know how often it comes to my mind? Almost every day. And it's one of the most important verses in the Bible. Because not just because of the first part, because of the second part. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Our entire Christian life, our entire life is based on the fact that we are forgiven by God. And if that is not an act of kindness, I don't know what is. So as you go throughout the Christmas season, think about what kingdoms you're a part of, those that you're in charge of, and those that you serve underneath, and think about how you can make it a kinder kingdom. Think about how you can not just add the Christmas spirit, but add the Holy Spirit, the spirit of kindness, which we've been commanded to do. Father, I pray that you